Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast today. I don't even know the damn. Today is November, what was it, about 26?
27.
I'm always like a day behind for some reason.
This is the last week of November.
It is bonkers.
Christmas is like tomorrow. This is crazy.
Yeah. It feels like Thanksgiving was like 2 weeks ago.
Already, yeah.
Nigga, not to me. Nigga, I'm still putting furniture back.
Word.
Hey, how much leftovers y'all still eating?
You gotta throw them away
we
today.
We chucked Sunday was the last meal.
Okay.
Yeah, I did a cleanse. I bought everything up from the downstairs.
From the refrigerator, yeah.
I said we're gonna do one. I did one pan. I put it in. I said whatever we don't finish
it's
tonight.
Over.
That's it.
It's a wrap, and I started chucking stuff.
Yeah, I actually ate some of that potato salad you gave me. That shit was hidden. I ain't even touched the turkey. I guess that's gone. I didn't eat none of that cake. I guess that's done. I could have put the cake in the freezer.
The cake could have lasted.
Cake I probably threw in the freezer. Maybe not.
Not if you had it outside. But this is the part where I always feel guilty. I have to learn that balance between cooking so that there's enough leftovers and cooking so that there's too many leftovers. Because right now,
no black people know that balance.
But I still got dressing in my fridge.
Yeah, of course you do.
I've gone through most of the ham. I still got mac and cheese in my fridge.
Of course you do.
I got the banana pudding. Like, I feel do. Guilty throwing. Like, I ate banana
black
pudding at 2 in the morning.
Do
just
you know that after Thanksgiving, everything is pretty much gone?
No, we
there's always you know some what? Gang of some
we've,
shit.
We've mapped it out for our barbecues.
Uh-huh. Well, barbecues.
But it's been weird, man, because, like, we had it's the sides that get us.
Yeah.
Of course.
We had like a lot of leftover rice, but mm-hmm. I don't think necessarily know that the rice was a hit.
Right.
So I don't think a lot of, it was like holiday rice that my sister-in-law made.
Okay.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of people
knew what it was.
Yeah. It was kind of a little artsy.
You know, Thanksgiving, just niggas will stick
with what
they know.
Yeah, they ain't playing around. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I had a lot of greens left over.
Yeah, you got a lot of greens.
I had a lot of greens left over. You know, I put down on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
Tried to get through them. You know, I hate throwing away with
clean
greens.
Clean yourself out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but you know, it was good. So, I went to Julian's first.
How was the Friendsgiving?
It was good. It was only a few of them. It was maybe like six or seven of them.
Right.
And then I came over. I had bought a half a pan of barbecue chicken from Jacob in Harlem.
Okay.
That was really good, actually. Sat there and watched the football. You know, just hung out and shit, talked. And then around 7:30 or so, jumped in the ride. And shout out to Jersey, to Sean and Mona's. Came out there, walked right in on the, they have a tradition where everybody kind of stands up and says what they're thankful for.
Okay.
And I walked right in on it. And I was like, nah.
Damn it!
Because I opened the door, Sean opened the door, and he was like, yo, what's up, man? I was like, why is this nigga whispering? And I realized they were doing it, you know, the living room was like kind of, like, the dining room was like kind of right there, so they were doing it. So, you know, everybody got up and said they thanks. But it was really nice. It's actually very, very nice. So everybody got up and said they thanks and stuff, and then, you know, have some cake, and then, you know, we went downstairs and watched the Saints game and have some liquor.
Yeah, some good yak.
Because I had some good, what's called? Tequila.
Okay.
Yeah, the 1800 coconut, you know, that's my thing. But it was good. Yeah, then I was the end of the night. And then I was, and then, you know, Friday, I went to the movie Friday. I went to see Creed 2.
Oh, how was it? I've heard good things.
It's good. It's not as good to me as the first one.
Okay.
As Creed 1, because Ryan doesn't, you know, Ryan didn't do this one.
Right.
This is another black director, though. I didn't
realize that. Yeah, Ryan put another black director.
Stephen Caple Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He did a movie called The Land, which I didn't see, but I've heard about. And so he did this. So it's good. It's like if Ryan's was like an A, his shit was like, if Ryan was like a 98, his shit is like a 90.
Okay.
89. So it's not, it's good. It's not quite as good as the first one, but it's still good. You know, it's the return of Ivan Drago.
Right.
It's Drago's son.
Right.
So that's interesting because you get that dynamic of, it's like the movie's a lot about sons and fathers.
Right.
Cause it's, you know, Sly, Rocky has an issue with like his son and obviously it's like Apollo and Creed and then, you know, Drago and his son. He's training his son because he wants to kind of, in a way, it kind of reminded me of the music business in that, like, okay, so Drago was on top. Obviously he lost that fight, you know, 100 years ago. And ever since then, he's been trying to figure a way to get back.
Right, into that
inner circle and get people to accept him again. So he's doing it through his son.
Got it.
But that's good. The fight scenes are really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike is like bigger than the last time. He's, that nigga is huge.
Right.
But yeah, it was good. It was good. Okay. I recommend it. And then Saturday, I came over to your extravaganza.
It was lit.
Oh, well, R.I.P. and, you know, our condolences again to Puffy Kid Porter. They had the services
on Saturday.
It looked like it was a huge turnout.
Yeah.
A lot of people came and, you know, a beautiful ceremony and everything. I just wanted to mention that. And then, so I bought the Blackberry.
Ciroc.
Black Raspberry Ciroc in honor of Puffy Kid Porter.
It's very tasty.
That shit's good.
It's very tasty.
Yeah, I don't know, Brown, if you like, because it's definitely a sweetness to it. You don't know, you don't like the sweet shit.
Yeah.
Because I was just taking it down. Like, you could just,
yeah,
you
don't he was need drinking to mix, it straight. You don't I need was to mix it with shit.
Ginger. Yeah, I threw a little ginger ale, but I didn't go, this is a little, you know, just a little.
But this works. So, okay, it's an annual tradition at my house that we do Taboo, and Taboo gets really ugly at my house.
And niggas cheating.
It gets really ugly. It gets borderline violent.
It's mad loud. Like, I'm sure the neighbors are like, what the hell's going on over there?
It's very loud. It's a lot happening. My brother-in-law and Greg on the same team is a problem.
Cheating.
You cheating.
And Mr. Greg, excuse me, Mr. E let me down, bro.
Yeah, so Eric.
Oh, my nigga,
Eric, Mr. E. It's so bad that Eric has withdrawn from actually playing. Instead, he presides, because he's a lawyer, he presides as the judge when we have to go to the rules and get an official ruling or calling. So what happened is halfway through gameplay this time, which we've argued about before, we instituted that if you pass or if you get buzzed on, you lose a point, which just turns everything up
to a mess.
This nigga here.
Yeah, the first time I buzzed.
I got our team off to a great start.
Yeah, I did. I was fucked up.
This motherfucker was using all the words that you're not supposed to.
Because I ain't know.
On the cards. So like the word was blizzard.
And then the nigga who's a terrorist at Greg, right here.
With the buzzer
looking
in his
over
ear.
My shit. Say, no, use that word. I'm like.
So, Jeff's like, the word is blizzard. Jeff's like, so when it's mad cold outside, obviously cold is on the card. It's mad cold outside, and it's this.
It's snowing.
And it's like,
but let me tell you how they cheated me, and then we'll move on.
They did get you.
And I'm still mad. So.
The word was angel. Yes.
So I said, the song that Angela Wimbush sings.
Right.
And I believe, was it you that said it?
One of us said it.
Somebody said angel. And then these niggas started saying you can't say
a word that has the word in it. Talking about Angela.
I said, but Angela and Angela are two separate words.
And
Mr. E was like, nah, nigga, you lose the point. Mr. E, I don't bought the black raspberry. Like, I don't bought the black raspberry for you and everything, man. You let me down, bro.
We fought over that shit for like 10 minutes.
I'm still a little salty.
Now, so you mentioned that shit on Twitter. I'm like, that nigga's mad.
Because we would have won the game.
Basically, the way it ended up, we ended up losing by 1 point. But it was because of point suppression. Like, basically, we were Stacey Abrams and Kevin Gillum out this
Absolutely.
Bitch.
They was the GOP.
Like, they were the GOP.
They was Brian
Kemp. They were a basket of deplorables out this motherfucker.
But we had a good time. Everybody was drunk, and we had a good time. Peace to everybody who came through. But everybody's Thanksgiving was good, I hope.
Yeah.
I was mad I didn't get the chance to come back and take the kids to
the show and all that. You know, we're doing another thing. So let's jump on into it. First thing I just want to mention, just keep it light. So we're doing the whole Thanksgiving weekend. So that was Saturday night. And then so Sunday, we had, we'll get into Real Housewives of Atlanta in a second, but we had the Soul Train Awards on Sunday night, which comes on every Sunday night after Thanksgiving for the past, 4 years or so, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
4 to 5 years or so. It's kind of like a traditional thing on BET. To me, it's still top three best produced award shows. And I mean across the board. I'm on all of them.
Oscars, it was excellent.
It's excellent. It's actually excellent every year, pretty much.
Yep.
They don't get the turnout that we've talked about this before, that they should get from the audience. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand it, because with these new R&B artists, you're not getting your shot on the Grammys. You're not getting your shot on the AMAs. You're not getting your shot on the Billboard Awards.
Well, you know, Daniel Caesar and her...
I don't think they're on the road.
They got BET Award. They got BET Award look. So maybe they thought... Because I don't even blame the artists. I'm blaming the camp, right?
Okay.
Because the camps... Oh, and I noticed firsthand. They like, Soul Train Awards. Let's hold out for BET Awards or something. But here's the thing. Soul Train Awards was on BET... BET Her Centric.
Do they do VH1 too?
VH1. It was on VH1. I think this might be the first year it was on VH1, and it was on MTV2. So it was across, it wasn't on MTV Bang, but it was on MTV2. So it's a cross Viacom platform.
Mm-hmm.
They clearly, like you said, it was an A+ production.
A+.
And my thing is, and it was a great show.
It's
like
a great
the
show.
Energy was great. The flow was great.
The audience is into it.
Tisha and Tashina were great.
Great.
And you know, Sean has said this on the show before. We be on BET's neck. Like, BET Awards ain't for us. I don't know who these little niggas are. I don't know what. And Soul Train Awards, before BET Awards existed, Soul Train Awards was an institution.
Absolutely.
It was an institution because it was the equivalent.
It was the Black Grammys and the Black Oscars.
Right. But the difference was you had every range of artists there.
Yeah.
On a regular. Right?
Yeah.
So they're clearly
like Michael Jackson, yeah. Prince, Bobby Brown, Whitney Houston. They was all there.
Yeah, and all across all ages.
Young absolutely.
Artists, you know, the legacy artists.
Mm-hmm.
So they're clearly trying to bring the platform back in a real way. So that, because a bunch of us are aged out. I'm officially aged out to BET Awards. Like, basically, I watch kind of just for the culture.
Mm-hmm.
I watch for the culture. I watch for Twitter. And I watch to see kind of like whatever their tribute is going to be or whatever, right? But I'm not really... there for the current artists that end up performing.
You're not excited because Lil Uzi Vert is performing.
Exactly. Like, my big things are like, what are they doing for BET Honors? What are they doing for Black Girls Rock? What are they doing for Soul Train?
Mm-hmm.
Those hit me as mm-hmm. a demo. But if we're not gonna support, meaning watch, and I do feel like there were a lot of eyeballs on this year.
I feel like every year the Soul Train Award, I mean, for what, it's a very, you can't base on anything, but right. every year it definitely trends.
Yeah.
So, like, there's people are watching, because it's great programming. It's Sunday night, you're tired from Thanksgiving, you ain't going nowhere. Most people got work the next morning. So you're home, and it doesn't comes on at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it's early enough.
It ain't too late. It's two hours.
Yeah. You still got time to get ready for bed by 11.
People are watching, but I guess the thing is, like, we got to stop thinking of it, like, as the tertiary award show.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know what I mean? We got to stop thinking of it as that and give it, like, a proper amount of respect.
Yeah.
Because, again, it was not a janky production.
No, it was a great
production.
And the other thing is, and you saw this from the transition from Jacquees, Bless His Soul, to...
And he was the only outlier.
He was the only outlier. Night. And Bless His... And SZA was there to present.
Yeah.
To Erica. But you saw the transition from Jacquees to, you know, John B. And Donnell and Erica.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to perform on the Soul Train Awards... You better be right.
You better be right.
Because they coming out there to kill. Like, they not fucking around. Like, they coming out there, the band is crazy.
Yeah, they
like,
not singing the track.
Faith.
Ain't none of shit.
Faith opened up, she was good, but, like, I think she opened up whole new live avenues for herself, because I was watching Faith, like, I don't even remember ever seeing her live before,
right.
And I definitely have forgotten how many records she had, and she was really good. Like, she really was into it. You know, she was dancing and having a good time, and, you know, I was like, okay, Faith gonna hit the road now and get some real paper out here. So, like, that's the other thing with these young dudes. Like, if you're gonna do it, don't think you're just gonna play a track and it's kind of like be up there. Like,
right.
They up there. Not fucking around. Now, the one outlet they do have for the young artists is the Cypher.
Yeah.
The R&B Cypher, which is dope.
And the R&B Cypher was dope.
It's dope every year.
Yeah.
So I appreciate them having that and giving...
they have the Coca-Cola stage for the emerging acts.
Yeah, like...
Similar to what they do with the
Ari Lennox and the kid Cassius...
No, Conscious Clay.
Conscious Clay.
I already know you're too woke for me if your name is Conscious Clay.
Yeah.
I'm good on that. But anyway, yeah, it was...
Did you watch, bro?
I did. I only watched mm-hmm. about the second hour.
Okay. So you basically saw the
yeah.
I watched.
I'm sorry. I watched a bit of the pre-show as well.
Oh, I didn't see the pre-show.
With Laz Alonso and April Riley.
Okay.
When hosting it. I mean, listen. I thought it was solid. I thought they did a really good job with the cross promotion of the new
Soul Train Show. Yeah, movie.
Uh-huh. I thought that that was very good.
I'm ready for that.
And I think that unlike a lot of things that happened in terms of like the BET, we always talked about this, like they really have an identity crisis.
Yes.
Like Soul Train doesn't have an identity crisis. They know exactly who their audience is and they go for that audience. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I will say I'm starting to wonder what the production situation is, because it seems like a lot of people that would normally be there aren't there.
Right. And what you see more but like lack, maybe don't have enough money to do production?
Well, I think that there's probably twofold. I think that people are, one, I've always said this, people are not going to turn down paid gigs.
Right.
At this point.
And two, it's during the holidays. Yeah.
Well, and it shoots in Vegas. So you have to.
It's not in L.A.
It's not.
You got to travel.
Well, I was getting ready to say one of the reasons that I think that they have the acts that they do is because there's a I Love the '90s review in Vegas.
Okay.
So there are people that are there in Vegas
that they can pull,
and they don't have to deal with a lot of the travel costs and the logistic nightmares that comes with that.
Okay.
And also too, when you guys are, you know, moving someone from LA to Vegas, that's like,
ain't that,
you
know,
I mean, that's New
York.
Crazy.
It's like New York and DC. It's not that big.
Right. Yeah. But they shoot in Vegas, and unless they change the venue isn't on the main strip. It's kind of off strip.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the hotel's kind of like, so if you are putting bigger acts up, you're gonna have to absorb
significant costs. So I think that what they try to do is work within their budget, work within the parameters.
Yeah.
This is not a again, we talked about this last year. I don't think a lot of camps see this as opportunity to get into audiences that, you know, will go out and pay money to see you live. I don't
think
they really
idiotic.
They're
wrong there.
You know? Yeah, because they don't.
This is a concert going audience.
But they don't. But the reason that they don't understand that is because they're 25,
right?
And they've never been to Essence.
Yeah.
So they don't know what they. When you go to Essence to enjoy is one thing, but when you go to those venues as a person who's worked in the business, what you see is one, the amount of people. You see the money.
Yeah.
And this might sound crazy, but looking at people's shoes and hair and purses, these are not people that are poor. These are people that are doing okay in life, and they go out to the merch. They go to the merch counter and they spend money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And they are full experiential people. Like they're the people who, when they go to a show, much like the young kids, when they go to the show, they want to commemorate it. They get in the outfit. They go on to dinner.
It's a whole thing.
They want a shirt. You know what I'm saying? Like, they want the whole shit.
Yeah, it's the whole shit. A program.
Yeah.
Barbara just stopped wearing her Frankie Beverly t-shirt.
Exactly.
Shit, Frankie was here a night. He was here Sunday night at the NJ Pack.
I didn't know that. But, it's a miss. And I said this when Daniel Caesar didn't show up for his award. I was like, I'm not going to put it on Daniel. Maybe he's on the road. Maybe he's on something. I was like, but camps have got to wake up. We got to wake up about those shows. We got to wake up about our media.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, but all of again, that, we got to stop thinking.
You're not going to, certain artists, there are some artists that will, you know, will get those shots. But there's a whole gang of y'all, you're not going to get those shots. You get the shot, it's going to be like a little blurb that ain't going to mean shit. Me and Sydney talk about this all the time. Sydney's always like, he's like, always forces any actor he works with to do black media.
Yeah.
Like, because they're going to give you the love that you're not going to get over there.
You see it all the time. And I've seen it with, even with Mona might be on a red carpet. And it's almost like we're always in the back.
At the end.
And there's always someone rushing us.
Past
them.
Yeah.
And so you do have to make a conscious effort for that. I also think that labels and artists have to take this in stock, right?
Yeah.
Like, they have to make a little bit of a commitment here because, in my opinion, and I've said this last year, Soul Train is bigger than just this awards. There is a cultural significance to Soul
Train. It's a huge brand.
And what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it is. Listen, man, go to your label, get a little support. If they're reneging on that, Like, you guys try and figure this out, but, like, you guys got to get there. They could definitely use the star power.
Yeah.
Because that matters when they go to sell ad time.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, it all of that stuff is really important.
Yep. I agree. I mean, and it's a great show. It's a great look for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a great look. Like, they go in there and do a couple songs, man. It's a great look. I hope more people keep pushing it. Hey, did y'all see the Lion King trailer?
Yes.
Yeah, so...
What you thought? I mean, it's very short.
But I thought it was great.
Yeah, me too.
I'm interested in seeing it. I'm interested to see it again.
It's going to be very interesting when this comes out because, okay, so now you got kids like Julian's age, right? And even Justin's age, who saw it as, like, was little babies and loved it, right? And then you got us, who were the parents who took them, and we liked it too, right? So we going. And then you got to throw the whole Beyonce beehive on top of that. So this thing could break records open the weekend.
Oh, dude, if this did 400 or 500 million the first weekend, I wouldn't be surprised.
Exactly.
At all.
Like, this thing is gonna be
it'll probably have 5,000 screens.
No question.
I can't imagine, you know.
No question. And it's gonna get the big IMAX look and all that.
All of that.
Yeah. So
all of that.
Yeah, I can't wait to the other trailers that they keep rolling out to kind of see. I'm hoping they roll out Timon and Pumbaa trailer soon.
Yes.
I want to see what that looked like. You know how that moves.
But you know the thing about the Lion King trailer, is that as amazing as the trailer is, of course, online it became all about Beyonce. Even though Beyonce is like the last name.
Yeah, but you know, it just is.
Just because.
Yeah, she's such a big, you know, the Hive. They're gonna go ham.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. Like, it looked super lit.
It looked crazy. Like, okay.
And I saw a graphic for everything Disney has coming out over next year.
They're about to kill it.
Because they have The Lion King happening. They have Aladdin coming out next year.
Live action?
Yeah. They're redoing all their classics in live action.
Oh, shit. Because,
you know, they already did The Jungle Book. They did Beauty and the Beast. And they did Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, okay.
So they have this. They have Aladdin. They're working on something else now, too. I can't remember which one it is. So they have Aladdin coming next year with Will Smith as Genie.
Oh, shit.
Okay. They have, and then of course there's the Avengers. The Avengers trailer drops tomorrow.
Oh, word?
Yep. So of course Avengers are coming next year. Captain Marvel is coming next year.
Oh, yeah, Captain Marvel.
Like,
yeah.
Disney, the new Toy Story is coming next year. Like, Disney is basically about to murder it next year.
I'm going to go see Toy Story.
I don't know if I... Like, Toy Story 3 took me out. I can't really...
Your last Toy Story took me out, B. At the end, nigga was a mess. I was
Pixar
a motherfucker mess. I'm like,
Pixar
I'm a mess up in this motherfucker, man. I'm like, goddamn, man.
Pixar gonna make you cry. Every time.
That last Toy Story had... That
so
shit
I don't really know if
chest.
I got it in me to go another round with
Yeah,
Toy
that
Story.
Shit was hard. That last
really
maybe 20 minutes. Nigga was toe up in there. I just want to say a quick piece to I want to say his name right. Bernardo Bertolucci, the director who did Last Tango in Paris, but he also did one of my favorite movies of all time, The Last Emperor.
Okay.
Have you ever seen Last Emperor?
Yes, I've seen The Last Emperor.
Yeah. He died, I think, yesterday at 77 years old.
Also, the creator,
Steven Hillenburg.
He was only 57.
Yeah, he had Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS.
Okay.
So he died, and that's like all over the internet because, again, it's like people now that are of age, like that's their childhood. You know, oh my God, like, you know, and SpongeBob is still popular to this day. You know, it's not like it got corny and went away. So definitely peace to him too. Did y'all watch Ready to Love?
I can't get
you
into
don't
it.
Watch it.
I keep trying. I can't get into it.
I'm honestly
you missed it.
I'm
checking out.
No, it's not even that I check out. Is that it's not. It doesn't catch me right. Like, it's not one of those things.
Like, it's coming on. Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's like I'll see a tweet on the timeline.
I'm like, oh shit.
And like 47 minutes into the program, I'm like, fuck it now. Man.
Yeah. It's all right. I hold off till y'all catch up. It's getting good. It's getting good. Oh,
this was the episode where the friends came on the date.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, where the friends came on the date. It's getting. I think we got 3 or 4 episodes left, but it's getting pretty intense. I gotta say peace to the floating pasta.
Yo, where's he from? Mississippi.
Like, I just had so many questions when I saw that clip. Like, okay, did they just put that rig in for that? Or is that rig part, is that rig in the church?
If it's a mega, so there are some churches that are actually
that have a rig for niggas to float?
They're staged for that level of, they're production? Ready for that level of production. And actually, I saw Sean's best friend, what's his name?
Who, John Gray?
No, the Shaboni nigga. Roland.
Oh.
Roland was like, is that what it's called? That silk Shabari, yeah, whatever the fuck
it is. I call it Ascot, but whatever, same shit.
So, he was like, well, if they got, if it's equipped for the production, why not do it? And my thing is, like, anything that's a distraction from the word,
that's
is a problem.
How are you supposed to get into the word after that?
Yeah, if it's a pageant and an angel needs to come in on the rig, that's great. But my nigga, if you gotta do all kinds of audio visual extraness just to bring the word,
and then he got stuck.
And then he got stuck.
Like, cause
y'all ain't doing, y'all ain't doing practice run of this shit.
I just
and then you look foolish, cause then you're like,
hey man, and your feet, and your feet about 8 feet off the ground.
And
your suit's hitched up in your nuts.
I got a couple questions. Cause my first question was, who hooked Pastor up?
Yeah. Right.
Who literally
hooked him up?
Had to hook him up to
pass,
the joint.
Pastor, you all right in there? I got the harness.
Did they run a dress rehearsal?
Right.
They did.
Somebody up
they
there?
Definitely ran a dress rehearsal.
Then I'm like, okay, did the trustees know about this?
Yeah.
Right.
Did the lawyer make sure, do we know that we got enough insurance to cover this?
Like, what if you had fallen on a congregant?
Like, dude, like, there was so many things that was just like, what are we doing here? Like, honestly, I would have gotten up. Right.
You would have bounced.
I would have left the church like that. And look, it's not an affront to whether that man can preach.
Yeah, I don't know.
Has a word.
I don't know.
But when you do theatrics like that, that is telling me that this ain't really the church.
Yeah, this is not for my thing.
You know what I'm saying?
God bless y'all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm going to go on down the street to...
And folks say, like, Pastor's so great. That's like how your man Jamal had his poem card with him dressed as fucking Black Panther, T'Challa, and shit.
Yes.
And I'd be like, my nigga, I don't need all this on my Jesus.
I forgot about that.
I don't need all this on my Jesus.
I forgot about Jamal with
the
Black Panther shit.
I get trying to make it interesting. I get trying to maybe stimulate people and bring some entertainment factor into it and maybe engage young people and relate things back to things that seem modern and fresh and exciting. But I'm also from the school of it don't take all that.
It don't take all that.
Like, I'm definitely from the school of it. Don't take all that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's too much. It is a distraction.
I'm reading here. They do have it for production. They had to fly angels in and all that. So
yeah, so like fly angel in.
Yeah,
like not you.
I still have questions. Like, is that level of production necessary?
Yeah.
For church functions is my question, right? Listen, if you want to do church plays, I get that. Like, I'm not
praise dancers.
You the praise dancers. You got the cherubs. You got the little the kids choir come up. They do
exactly.
The nativity scene.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
I get all of that. Right, but like, unless you're telling me you guys are renting out this business for like,
that's what I'm wondering. They must
Jenkins.
Be charging like serious ticket prices.
Yeah.
For
if you're doing
show.
That. I get it.
Yeah.
Now that we're not talking about the same thing.
Right.
And if that's just for church use for no money.
Yeah.
For theatrics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, bro.
Yeah, it was a lot, man. It was a lot. A piece of Jamal Bryant. He just got the what's it called? Is it called the pastorship? What was it called? He's going to be running Eddie Longsville Church.
Oh yeah, like he's going to be the head pastor.
Yeah, he's going to be head pastor Eddie Longsville Church.
Yeah, Jamal in Atlanta is going to be a problem. Jamal Bryant in Atlanta.
We being honest here.
It's going to be
definitely
a problem.
It definitely ain't going to be no worse than what it was with Eddie Jamal. Definitely ain't going to be no worse than that.
Yeah. And remember, Jamal went to Morehouse, so he got ties down there anyway.
And definitely. And I'm going to tell you why I actually like that move. Because he scraped his knees already. So right. there's some level of humility and there's some level of kind of knowing a little bit more, you know, that comes with life experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That I think,
you know, listen, man, when you're 45, you ain't 30.
at all.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And hopefully he's grown in a way that
he won't be out here wild.
But he won't be out here wild. Now he going to be.
No, he going to be him.
He going to be out here
now. He going to be him now.
He going to be.
He already got some shit lined up now. Don't get it fucked up.
Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
He's absolutely going to be out here, but it ain't going to be like
that level.
What it was before.
Buck wild.
Yeah.
So that's we're praying for you, Jamal. We're praying for you, man. Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yes.
So this week's episode centered around Cynthia having a cookout at her crib. That was kind of like the meat of it. And Ronnie DeVoe's wife, because Ronnie wasn't on the show, a meeting with Ronnie's mom. Ronnie looked just like his mom, by the way. And then also Portia and Dennis meeting with Dennis's mom. So my first thing was this. So they meet with Dennis's mom. Portia brings her a gift. She was very, Dennis's mom was very kind of like a bit cold. Cold to me.
Yeah.
Like she accepted the gift. She said thank you, but it was very kind of like, oh, that's nice, right? But my, and then she said, correct me if I'm wrong, she said something like, this is Portia's the first person that Dennis has made her meet in several years or something.
But she was also very much like, so why?
But my thing is this. I'm going to lean on the mom for a second. So I'm like, and Dennis. So I'm like, Dennis got to be what, at least 40?
He's grown. Yeah, yeah.
40 or 40 plus, right?
Right.
So I'm like, so you ain't even no girl you met in all these years? That was at the level where you wanted to get serious enough to meet your mom.
But you got chicks tatted.
But
let me tell you again, this is happening because Portia is already pregnant. I'm telling you, she was.
No. I believe it.
Well, I have a fundamental issue with men that are of a certain age and do not like you're grown, dude.
Super grown, like,
right? Bringing someone to meet your mom because you want them to meet your family is one thing. Bringing a woman to meet your mom for your mother's approval
is something totally different.
It's like, my nigga, like, with, like, you, like, to me, that reeks of a problem.
That's
the beginning.
That's kind of where I was going.
Yo, my nigga, like, that is the beginning of a terrible situation because that tells me that he's a mama's boy.
No question.
Okay? And she's all in his business.
You
gonna get hell.
It's
gonna be hell to pay at every turn.
Yep.
Okay? This idea that, listen, it's like I said, if you wanna, you dating Portia, you in love with her.
Right.
Right
from night one.
Said night one, you say you love me.
You in love with her, like, so. What's
the problem? Yeah,
what the problem is.
Yeah, I just didn't. And again, the fact that his mother said that he just had nobody around in
which
years.
I don't believe.
I'm like,
that.
Really?
I don't believe that. I think the mom is going along.
Yeah.
With, I don't want to say the lie, but the plan.
Yeah.
To present as though
she's
like,
special,
like. Because to me, I don't even know how real that is because there was a bunch of shit about him having someone, like, literally weeks before.
Yeah, before. Exactly. Exactly.
Like, and it was serious.
And like you said, he's tatting girls' names on his body. Names. Like, more than one.
And whoever the chick with was, I don't know if y'all caught this, whoever the chick was before Portia was another kind of pop. Like, I feel like he's,
girl.
He's mixy. Because somebody mentioned that they were in South Africa. So I think they were at Luda's wedding.
Oh.
I'm just adding up some shit. Because she was like, while we were in South Africa, she got the thing. And the last big Atlanta, South Africa event was Luda's wedding. So I feel like whoever the other chick
is in the mix.
And he seems like a mixy nigga.
Yeah. Oh, he's definitely a mixy nigga.
Yeah. You know,
he's not just going to date nobody regular. She's got to be somebody or something or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. That threw me.
Yeah. And I mean, even with the, like you said, mama looked at the wallet, but she was like, no. I mean, that's also kind of, it's a Louis Vuitton wallet. It's like, you could have got, whatever.
But
why are you bringing
her a gift?
Yeah.
It's just like, yo, it's too much.
Yeah.
Right. It's too much. All you niggas is putting on a show. Stop.
That's the thing about, and I was going into
also,
that.
Also, Portia ain't used to this. Portia seemed very awkward. Did she seem, she didn't seem awkward.
Oh, you're not used to mean mothers?
I feel like Portia is not used to, because again, like the only serious relationship we've seen Portia
is Cordell.
Has been Cordell, and she was young.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling like Portia, and we never saw her. I don't know if Cordell's people are alive or we not. Never we never saw the interaction.
Yeah.
Her mother loves her dirty drawers. I feel like Portia seems like that type of woman who it's hard for her to win over the moms, or maybe she just doesn't know how to act in so this kind of situation with the moms. So she seemed awkward. And
yeah, well, I think that's also her being just, she's just
nervous
and immature.
And she's very immature.
And I think that she wasn't quite sure what the mom knew.
Yeah. What did you tell him?
Yeah, like she didn't, because she doesn't know him.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
She doesn't know him
at all.
And also, I thought that, to your point, I thought the mom let off a jewel when she was like, are y'all rushing to the altar?
Yeah.
That was her saying, are you pregnant?
Yeah. Yes.
And then Portia didn't say no.
But also, he sat there like a lump.
Didn't say shit.
And I don't know if that was editing or what, but this nigga ain't say nothing about nothing.
Like, he was just leaving words hanging in the air.
Just out there.
Like, you out here.
And Portia's looking at him like, hello? Like,
nigga, I just met your mom. I don't know her.
Can you help? Like, I don't know what you want me to say.
Yeah.
How much you want me to say.
Because that's that mama's boy shit.
Yeah.
And that's him, because that, what happened with him not defending or not even picking up on the hints
that she's struggling,
or she's, you know, flapping in the water, and him not jumping in, that's an indication, my nigga.
Yeah.
That's an indication. Yeah. He knew what that was.
Yeah. So I took that as odd. Then the second thing was Shamari and Ronnie's mom. Mm-hmm. So they're together looking at cakes for their, they're having a birthday party for their twins. I think they're turning two, I think I said.
One.
Yeah.
Was it one? Okay, so they look for cakes. I mean, that's a side thing with me, too. It's like,
why are you going to take cake tasting?
And it's just too much. They just turned in babies.
One. They turned in one.
Two, and we're going to get two cakes. Why?
Get cakes from the Bilo. Get a sheet cake from the Bilo.
That woman said that those cakes was going to cost a combined $900.
Get a sheet cake from the Bilo.
Nigga, go to Publix.
Yeah, or from the Publix. With the Publix cakes be popping.
And it's going to cost you $33. But also why are you spending $900?
That's so good.
Publix food is popping, period, actually. Yeah. But like, why are you spending $900 on cake?
For no reason.
But this is dumb.
Because
babies. I mean, are you saying you got it or don't got it? It's just dumb. You know what I'm saying? And so then Shamari starts talking to the mom. And they start talking about how they didn't even like each other at first. And Shamari was like, you know, you didn't even like me and blah, blah, blah. And then she goes into this thing and says that Ronnie and her had a section of their marriage where they were in an open marriage.
Which I don't even know why that came up. So remember I said last week that Shamari seems like she's purposely talking for the sake of production.
Oh, she's trying to get that peach.
There is no reason for that to come up in a conversation with some cake testing when you already been with your husband. How long have you been with him? Like 15 years?
Yeah,
like,
long time. Like that?
Yeah. You've been with him for a minute. Y'all in the middle of eating some cake.
Yeah.
You're like, you ain't really like me.
1 year old birthday party.
Yeah, you ain't really like me. You thought I was a gold digger. Me and Ronnie been through some shit. Yeah, you know we was in an open relationship. Why are you saying this?
I got a theory.
Okay.
Okay.
My theory is their fame, like, listen, Ronnie's famous, and we know that. Mm-hmm. Ronnie's famous in a certain section.
Yes.
Right? Ronnie go to the mall in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah, he going to get mobbed.
If Ronnie's in the mall in Shore Hills Mall, they're going to walk right past him.
Right? Agreed.
But, shit, somebody came in.
No.
That's my train of thought.
Oh, okay.
You said Ronnie's famous.
You said there's a reason why.
Oh, so this is to get ahead of anybody coming out
and saying some shit.
Saying some shit with them.
This is
actually really smart because it really strips the power of anybody either looking to try to extort them
or try to jam them up.
Yeah,
because it's free information that's not necessary. So she doesn't want moms to hear about that. Sister Brenda. Yeah.
Down to the hairdresser.
Exactly. He'd be on the media takeout.
Your daughter's little name Shamari, right? They say he on my phone.
Oh my God. They said it's right here on the phone.
It's right here on the phone. She'll mess with some girl. I don't know.
That's what I think was the angle with her stepping out and making it so public, because it seems like it was a very long time ago.
Yeah.
But it also seems like
it could come up.
It could come up, and it's twofold. It also makes them look, she looks fun.
Right.
And popping.
She's but I can also tell the mother wasn't really trying to hit that. She was like, well, whatever works out. She wasn't trying to hit that shit at all. She was like, well, all
and
right.
And then we see a clip next week where Ronnie says,
you felt like that was something you needed to say on camera?
Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see where that goes.
But Shamari is definitely trying to get a peach.
She's going hard for that peach. And then the last thing was the cookout at Cynthia's, where they're all kind of gathering and Eva really being like, becoming more and more like the mean girl.
The mean girl. Well, let me back up. The Bailey cue.
Yeah, the Bailey cue.
I've said this before. I still can't get a read on Cynthia, whether I like her or I don't like her.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is, she seems nice enough, but I always feel like there's something in Cynthia where she's trying too hard.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Like, there's always something about her where it's like, I'm like, are you cool? Are you, like, trying to be cool? Are you really cool? Like, even just calling something like Lake Bailey and the Bailey Q and, you know, how she used to talk about Peter, how she talks about dude now, how she handles the men in her life.
I got you. I think some of that is coming from, we have to remember, she was, you know, popping in the 90s.
Yes.
She was a, you know, fairly big model.
She was
totally in the mix. So I think when she says that, that's that energy. That kind of, I used to hang with Russell and Andre, and I was at Nell's and da 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 da.
Maybe she hasn't really found her place in Atlanta still?
Yeah, because I think she kind of flashes back to those times.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah, I'm being in the club, me and Kamara, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Like, I think that's still there, and it kind of pops out. Her, like, I don't need nobody to hire to date. And then she doesn't. She's a beautiful woman. She said it on some, like, nigga, you know who I am? You know who I used to be with? Like, that was kind of like her. I think that's that.
Okay.
And I don't know if that means she's cool or not, but I think that's where that comes from.
Yeah, it's just, I can't always get a beat on her authenticity.
Yeah.
You know, and, or just even, I guess some of it is like maybe we're seeing some projection of like how secure she is or isn't within herself sometimes, I think, maybe. But then, you know, as she's getting older and as she's older, over 50 and shit. But anyway, so the Bailey Q thing, what was really interesting to me was that she was like, I'm going to have a barbecue at my house, but everybody else bring the food.
Yeah, I'm not cooking shit.
Basically, I'm like, do you not cook? I'm trying to remember.
No, I don't think I remember her cooking. Ever.
That's a
Peter
lot of
used
trust.
To cook. Remember, Peter
yeah,
used
Peter
to cook.
Used to cook. That's a lot of trust, because she didn't even assign dishes.
Yeah.
She was like, just bring
some
shit.
She was just winging it. You know,
like, that's a lot.
Your man Dennis came through with the whole hot dogs and all that, which is cool. And everybody else, what they ship it. But Eva just like, she's just very, like, she's nasty, man. And I like that they kind of called her on it.
Eva.
This episode, like, yo, you was talking crazy about Shamia. Now you trying to fix her food.
Right.
And you talking crazy. Because when Cynthia said the thing about the rumor she spread, Eva didn't really deny it.
Yeah, she just was like, I don't know that to be true.
I don't know that to be true. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
Right.
Either you said it or you didn't, you know?
I said it before. Eva thinks she's above the rest of the ladies, which is like, okay, but you're on the show, so humble yourself.
And as far as I know, you don't have anything else going on at this moment.
Right. And what's interesting, and also you came from reality TV too, boo.
Yeah, that's like, how you're known.
Chill out. But what's interesting to me is she's cozying up the hardest to Nene.
Yeah, like, I want Nene to tell me about marriage.
Like, you're my marriage guru. I mean, which Nene and Greg do
I
have
get it.
Good
no,
marriage.
Yeah, I'm not saying that she does. Nene
but
doesn't
it's
have.
It's interesting to me that, like, that's.
Well, because she feels like if I close up to Nene, I'll.
That's, I'm protected.
I'm secure in my spot. Go ahead, bro.
Of course that's what it is.
Yeah.
And there is a. She just has a mean spirit.
Mm-hmm. She does.
Like, it reminds me of Heavenly.
Just
sharp and unnecessarily sharp.
Yeah.
For no real reason. And like they think it's cute. right? Yeah. Like, and that's right. The other thing. Like, it doesn't, it comes off so naturally, the meanness. It's like really weird to me. I'm just like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, God bless.
Yeah, but I'm, but well, yeah, but right. I don't want to hang out with you.
Yeah, and also just even watching her on television.
Yeah.
She does not come across like a fun person.
Yeah.
There are times when you've seen every one of the women, even when they have, even Kenya and her crazy shit, there were times when you would see them and you would say, oh, she feels like a fun person.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
At times. You catch her in the right pocket. Like, I don't think there's a pocket.
Yeah, with Eva. Yeah. Eva with it feels like it's always fun. One inch away from her just blacking out on somebody.
Always.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to bring up, we haven't talked about this at all, Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Is going to the pokey.
He's going to the federal penitentiary too. So he was arrested. I guess it hasn't been quite a week. A few days
not
ago.
Not a week.
Been over a week and a half.
Okay. Yeah. So he was arrested for several charges, gun charges, drug charges. Just stacked a gang of charges on him, and they put him in a federal penitentiary. But you know, really, the story's really more about how it got to this point. Like, it was like this long, I guess about a year or so, process of him just trolling and talking crazy and, you know, just constantly trolling people on the internet and people kind of trying to tell him to chill, and him not listening because his trolling was working for him for that little period of time. He was making money. He was, you know, every time he did something, it would blow up on the internet.
Right.
But he is now in a space where he might do a life sentence, man. Like, he's going to do some... He's definitely doing some time, regardless.
Well, he pleaded not guilty to the charges. As of now, they have moved him to what appears to be an undisclosed location. But apparently, and TMZ did something that I thought was just really irresponsible, which was, you know, to put that out there and say that he was being moved into a section that...
People go to when they make deals.
Go to when they make deals. And he might be in a section where that is the case. That doesn't necessarily mean that he had made a deal.
Right.
And I just think that, like, the stakes are really hot. Like, this is really life or death. Like, this kid could really be killed in prison.
Yeah.
Like, this idea that people just come home from prison all the time. Right. Like, nah, B.
Right. Yeah, a lot of folks don't make it.
Don't come home from
prison. Exactly.
Like, it's fucking real in there. So,
yes.
And look, I get what TMZ is, but they have, over the last few years, really tried to pick up. Put themselves in a respected light as a place
real
for
journalism.
Information, real journalism, and I just thought it was grossly irresponsible for them to do that. He's got no bail.
Nope.
They've frozen his assets
and his mother's assets,
which is something that we had talked about the feds doing. Like, this still may very well be a part of them going after bigger fish.
I'm sure it is.
But also stopping him from being able to support those folks in their defenses.
Yep.
This has been ongoing. He fired, I think, some managers or something
like that.
Like
a few days before he got pinched.
Well, there was also a shooting up at Chow's.
Lucian Grange's son.
Yeah, apparently they found out he was at Chow's because what do these guys always do? They go to the same three restaurants and they go live all the time.
Chow's, Philippe.
So they popped up. They popped up on there was a guard there. I don't know if the guard was a guard from the restaurant.
Or Chow's guard.
Off duty cop.
Okay.
And dude came back, you know, he hit him with a chair, they exchanged gunfire, he winds up shooting one of the guys. So this is like, this is real shit.
A lot of shit,
This is not like...
Yeah, he got racketeering charges, like this shit is real.
Yeah, this ain't for play. And so they're saying now that they have a new informant.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
I read that today, as of yesterday, they have an informant that I guess his defense... wasn't sure about.
Wow.
They don't know what this person has recorded, what this person has.
Wow.
Again, you know, there are just so many videos, there's so much footage, there's so
much. That's what I was about to say. Without an informant, this whole very young millennial and older Gen Y, Gen Z, wherever we are, Gen Z, don't really understand the real consequences that come with the shit you post on the gram. The internet is forever.
Yeah.
And ever. So even once you try to pull something,
and they watch
something, they get on that shit. Yeah,
and they watch it. They watching your shit.
And so,
his Instagram is mentioned in his RICO charges, aren't they?
Yeah, because you have this footage. There's footage of him allegedly
putting 30 grand on some guy's head.
Yeah.
So this is all just sort of new to folks my age and sort of older. It's fascinating that you would do these things sort of out in the open and really sort of make it this easy for the feds to, you know, I mean, they really don't even have to do a lot of investigation. They could just fucking sit on IG.
You gave it to them.
They could sit on IG all day.
Yeah, you're giving it to them.
Saying? So, yeah, I mean, you know, he's got these affiliations. We don't know what other wiretaps, because apparently the feds were saying that the reason that they arrested him was because I don't think that they were ready to take him in at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they were saying they're about to kill
him.
They rushed
it because they felt like there was a serious hit out.
Yeah, because he had fired everybody.
Right. And there's still very murky waters about that whole kidnap robbery thing that we talked about.
Yeah.
And I said, this don't seem... I was like, this sounds like he knows who this is.
Yeah.
And they let him go. This seems like a warning or some shit like that. Yeah. So, this is all pretty weird. And obviously you got the rumor mill, and then you got the shit that comes through in the news, and you kind of got to decipher
what's real, what's fake.
What's real and what's fake, you know? So, I mean, listen, man, this is what you put out in the universe.
And now it's coming back.
To tell you.
Yeah. And now it's coming back. And he put his album out this week past, Dummy Boy. Of course, it's selling, you know what I'm saying, because he's, you know, hot now, you know what I'm saying?
Isn't he going to be hot?
He's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot.
They gave
him a trial. His trial ain't set till September.
Right.
So basically, you about to do a year.
It's just sitting.
Yeah.
And he said he's hot, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, with the way the feds are, none of that, I doubt any of that money is going to him.
Well, none of that money.
He sees it all, that shit.
None of that bread is going to go to him.
Yeah. So the labels is making their paper, you know what I'm saying? I hope the producers get paid. That could be murky, too. And, you know, and he's getting nothing.
Right.
That, you know, the government's making sure that he's not profiting from any of the bullshit. So, man, that kid's in a world of shit, man. And then on top of it, he got niggas want to kill him.
For real.
For real. So, so it's, you know, so, yeesh, God bless you, 6ix9ine. You got a lot going on, man. Gotta mention Dwight Howard, bro.
Yeah, we should.
So Dwight Howard, NBA player. I used to really like that nigga when he was on Orlando. Just as his play.
Oh, yeah.
When he first came into the league, his first 2 or 3 years.
Isn't Dwight the one that was Superman?
Yeah, he was, the first 2 or 3 years, he was beasting on dudes, man. Like, he was a monster. And so, recently it came out that from a gay man, that him and Dwight had a relationship.
Allegedly
had a relationship, and Dwight had, I guess, kind of, you know, been keeping it on the low, and then this guy threatened to go public.
What happened was Dwight cheated on him.
Allegedly had a relationship.
Dwight allegedly cheated on him
with another guy,
with some transsexuals.
That's where the transsexual thing came.
Or the guy found out Dwight had been at some transsexual parties.
Okay.
Where apparently there was, there is group sexual engagement.
At the parties.
With no protection.
They just fucking.
Right. So, upon finding out Dwight had been there, he confronted Dwight. And then he started being allegedly threatened.
By Dwight and his pastor.
People. Yeah. And some teammates and some other shit. Allegedly. Against exposing his relationship with Dwight. That's supposedly the whole thing.
Okay. Right. So, of course, you know, it's to top it off.
And Dwight's been out. Had, like, some DMs and some voice recordings.
Of Dwight. And then Dwight had a stretch up until very recently Well, he was out for maybe like at least 2 weeks or so with a buttocks injury.
Right.
So, people were assuming that they were thinking it was maybe because of sex, because this gay man is claiming that Dwight is
a bottom.
A bottom. A so, bottom. Dwight is receiving instead of giving. So, they're saying the buttocks injury could have been from that.
Right.
So, this is a whole kind of thing. But, first of all, Dwight's got like mad kids by mad women.
And they all got, and he threatens all of them with lawsuits.
Yeah.
If they talk about him.
If they talk about him. So, he obviously just like, he's out here fucking raw. Yeah. He's buck wild anyway. Maybe he just got to a space where he wanted to try something new. I feel like, and I'm talking shit, but I feel like a lot of this could just be like almost like sexual addiction.
But it also is just business.
And
right?
It's, I don't really care if he's gay or not, but I just think it's very interesting. Like, even in 2018, it's like such a huge thing that he might be gay or bisexual. It's right. Like,
but you know, in sports,
I'm like, yo, there's 400 something niggas in the league. You think everybody's straight?
Exactly. Sports is like the last frontier in terms of sexual identity.
You think all these niggas are straight? Everybody in the league is straight? It's just numbers wise, it's just not realistic.
Dwight is a bully about his personal relationships. Period. Yeah. Anyway.
And he's hated throughout the league just as a teammate.
Yeah, because he's an asshole.
He's an asshole.
But part of the problem is, you know, everybody got jokes about these allegations, which people are saying is irresponsible because that's the reason homeboy's being threatened in the first place.
Because, yeah, otherwise there wouldn't have been no threats because it just is what it is. What you think, bro?
I think I'm going to be careful here, but I'm going to say I think this is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. You think it's not real?
I don't think it's real. I don't. I am indifferent about his sexuality.
Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that that's bullshit. I'm saying that this story, this particular story,
is bullshit.
Feels bullshit. And here are a couple things. Well, one, someone pointed out that the DMs looked faked because there were apparently bubbles around certain quotes and not bubbles around other quotes.
Mm.
Also, the person says, in the timeline, when they do the thread, they say that he told them to go to the fence
page. To the fake page.
To the fake page.
But the screenshots are from the real page.
Screenshots are from the real page.
Right.
The phone, we don't know who that is.
Right.
I've heard a bit of that phone call, and I've also, I'm not painting myself as some savant of journalism, but I've heard Dwight Howard speak. Doesn't sound like him. And I'm not talking about his voice. I'm talking about the cadence and in the words being used.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those words are not words that are in Dwight's vocabulary. He's a very, he's a kid.
Yeah.
You know, he's still very much a child.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't get any of that. The person saying his name, Dwight, like who are you, when you talk to somebody on the phone,
you don't say their name all the time.
You don't say their name all the time because you're talking to that person.
Yeah, it's
not like eight people on the phone.
It's like you're saying so you could prove it's him.
That's my point. So we don't know that that's him on the phone. We don't know who this, I'm using air quotes again, this pastor or these people.
Mm.
We don't know who these folks are. Then this person outs what I don't even know is a transsexual person.
Mm-hmm.
We know the dangers in that.
Yeah. Yep.
We don't know what ramifications that person could have for you to post a picture and say that. And then I'm supposed to believe that a 6'10", 6'11", NBA superstar, one of probably the top 10 to 15 most recognizable people in the NBA is gallivanting
at
transsexual orgies fucking and nobody says anything. Nobody knows anything.
Yeah.
Nobody's got a pick. So it all seems, and apparently this person allegedly has been sort of exposed as a scammer.
For doing this before.
Yeah. And so these are the things that I get not upset with, but these are the things that bother me. Is that we take what people say because of its salaciousness.
Yeah.
And we run
because of us on the shade
like
room.
The worse it is, the more likely people are
to believe it.
Yeah,
but that's the thing, right? Like, we talked about this before. This exposure culture mm-hmm. all the way around is such a problem. Because there's this other girl, this little white girl, Sky something, and her whole account is her posting video of alleged DMs between her and professional athletes. And she's like a little Instagram thing, but she's not even that, probably she got like 3,000 Instagram. So I'm like, and somebody said to her, like, oh, so all of a sudden the whole NBA and your DMs.
It's
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, really.
Because it was like Carmelo and this nigga and that nigga.
Come on.
So, but that's her whole shit is just posting that. And it's like, you're clout chasing.
Yep.
That's really, and I hate
that's
that phrase. And I hate that phrase, but that
true.
Is what it is. You're clout chasing.
It's
like,
true.
For you, you will actually engage in a conversation with a dude just to be able to post it. To, but like, what is that?
Nothing.
I still don't understand the end game, right? So for this guy, again, my thing is, and other people have said this, my thing is, listen, I think it's going to take a long time. Unfortunately for us culturally as black people, not just as black people, I think that even as we just gotten to a point where there's some normalcy and general acceptance in sexual in sexuality, gender identity is going to take much longer. Like this is still the early stages of learning how to discuss it. Learning how to differentiate it from sexual preference and sexual identity. And, you know, the whole, like, a transsexual woman is a woman. And, that, like, people are still coming to terms.
You're trying to figure it all out. I still be trying to figure it out.
Yeah, like, a lot of us are trying.
Like, I don't know.
A lot of us who are cis-hetero are still trying to figure.
You see, even those little terms, like, cis-hetero, I don't even know what that means. I'm like, what that
means? That means that we.
I always be like, what that
means? That means that we identify as the sex we were born with and that we're straight, for lack of a better word,
okay.
Right?
So straight is out. You can't say that no more?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll say it to other people, but
I'll
now
the quiet. I wait till they tell me what I'm supposed to say.
Right, and I mean, this is
I really don't be know.
And this is all language that is still very new, like,
and evolving,
and evolving. Right, it's still very new and evolving, and you know, it's all quiet. And it's all moving very quickly.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
I'm like, and they be, and niggas be like, expect you to know all this shit. I'm like,
well,
I don't
say,
know this stuff.
I will say this. I will say this. One of the reasons that I just don't say anything is because if you not even say the wrong thing, there's no nuance of intent or tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you say the wrong thing and it is clearly an error that you are not even aware that you're making,
you still make
an attack
for it.
It's like,
on you.
So it's just easier to just, how about I just be quiet?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How about what they say on Twitter? How about I sit down and eat my food?
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying? But yes, this exposure culture is very prevalent, and until we start to really start to deal with the fact that this is how people are putting food on their table,
yeah,
no one is really going to address this.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, this is feeding an entire industry.
The gossip industry is massive.
TMZ, Shade Room,
yep.
Media Takeout, these are companies that are doing well. What was very surprising to me, and I'm just going to say this, was very surprising was to see that B. Scott had ran that story.
Right.
And that was like, dude, if no one was going to be more sensitive to this,
yeah.
I would have thought it would have been
him. He's making money, and he's like, I can't sit out.
Oh, listen, in fairness, I'm not gonna crucify him. I'm fairness, he probably doesn't even run his day to day. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's probably some kid that is picking up stories that get traction
and posting them,
reposting
them,
right? So I, you know, but again, that's my point, right?
Yeah.
Like. To me, it's calling Dwight Howard gay or saying you guys had this relationship, I call bullshit on that whole angle. But to put out a picture of someone and say that you thought that they were a prostitute,
yes.
and that they've basically been having transsexual orgies
yes.
is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It is mind-blowing to me.
It is.
Especially, even if you're not a trans, even if you're identifying as, I'm sorry, I don't even know if trans is right, but you're not a transsexual, even if you're identifying as a gay man,
yes,
to do that
yeah.
is just
gross. Because you know
what that is. It's gross.
Because you're putting somebody in the motherfucker's crosshairs. It's gross.
And what I saw was a lot of blue check Twitter jumping on this shit. A lot of you niggas was running with this because another little dirty secret is that's how you niggas put food on your table, okay? And you get on the Twitter and you act Jack and Jill, right? Mm-hmm. Until it's time to get into the little dirty shit,
into
cesspool shit.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. And y'all ran with the shit and y'all made it. Y'all basically gave life to something and nobody did a mental progression,
right?
Nobody said, yo, who is this person? This person came out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, Dwight Howard has had a lot of rumors. One of the rumors has been him fucking with young girls.
Yeah.
So where's that conversation?
Where's that combo?
Well, that one is legit. He got a teenage girl pregnant.
That's what a couple of people were like, yo.
Yeah, that was cool, though.
They were like, yo, saying whatever Dwight Howard is doing in his business, but like, where's the conversation about Dwight Howard fucking with young girls?
Yeah, yo, like, high schoolers.
Yes.
And you can't even, like, I've stayed out of this whole conversation on Twitter because if we say, like Sean said, I think this is bullshit, then it's like, oh, you'd rather not believe that a man could be having this relationship. No, it ain't got nothing to do with that.
I believe the story is janky.
The story is janky. This person's credibility is fucked up. It has nothing to do with Dwight's sexuality, but to your point, it's like, again, there's no nuance on Twitter, right? So it's always like, whoever is putting allegations forth, that person automatically gets the benefit of the doubt. And that is not always
the case,
right? Now, do I put it beyond Dwight Howard to threaten some bullshit to keep his shit low? Not at all. Just based on even homegirl who was on Basketball Wives, like, she literally wasn't allowed to say Dwight's name.
But here's another dirty little secret. That is not uncommon.
Right.
Yeah.
I know a lot of you niggas want to, like jump on him and make him, like, the pinnacle of fuck nigga baby daddy.
Right.
Like, that is not uncommon. There are a lot of niggas out here that got kids by women on TV, and they cannot say their name.
Exactly.
Mai Tai couldn't talk about Prince.
I mean, this is not a guy. I don't even think homegirl that was married to R. Kelly even says his name.
No, she does now, but she didn't for years. Mai Tai didn't talk about Prince on the show.
Yeah, shit. 50's son's mom. He owns her name or something. Remember, she was gonna try to do a reality show early this year, and he shut it down because he owns her something. He was like, "Nah, you can't do it unless you clear it to me," and I say no.
Right.
That's so crazy. It's something that guys with a lot of money, a lot to lose, do.
But I mean, so like, do I think Dwight?
I guess women too.
Do I think Dwight Howard is an asshole? Absolutely. Am I automatically do I think that it's possible that Dwight fucks with trans? I don't know. I don't know Dwight Howard. I don't know him personally.
Maybe.
I mean, that's not my
who
business.
Who are me to judge?
If you're sloppy, that's a whole nother situation. Yeah.
Well, he is sloppy because he got also, like, mad kids and all that.
Yeah,
shit.
And also there is, like, if you the other conversation we had about, who was it? One of them little Atlanta boys where it was basically like, if you're fucking with sex workers, pay your sex workers. But this isn't even that conversation, right? It's like, whatever you're doing is your business until you get messy and until you put somebody else in harm's way. But we don't even know
if this is the case.
And we have to remember, too, this is the most difficult part about this is that the person that you're, like, legally, if this person is lying, right, the idea is that you could sue that person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if they ain't got pot nor window.
Yeah, that's not that simple.
What you suing for?
What? So now you spending more money and you making a bigger deal. You understand what I'm saying?
To make them sell their Camry.
Exactly. So you're put in this position where it's like, do I just sit here and take this shit? Or do I go after them and cause a bigger... Because this is really what they want. This is what that person is looking for.
Yeah, because now they'll be on the gram talking and they'll be doing interviews. They hope they get on the Breakfast Club.
So tell me who... What police department did you send that threat to?
True. Yeah.
Show me the paperwork. What police department did you send that threat to?
Yeah.
Are you just throwing people's pictures up, people's phone numbers, addresses... Like, that's crazy to me. And we are, it's The same people that will champion about it's not your right to tell people's business and all that shit.
The same people retweeting and
jumping into that shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
You niggas is frauds.
All of them. You know. So you guys said this one out, bro. We're gonna mention Real Hot Love and Hip Hop New York. So it
premiered Love and Hip Hop Old New York.
Yeah, so it premiered last night.
Old New York.
With the new cast is Joe Budden and Seth Santana. Mano and his girlfriend, I forget her name, I apologize. Nice girl, though.
Jules and Kimbella.
Rich Dollars and his people.
Alexis Sky has come from L.A. to this cast.
Yes, yeah, with Fetty Wap. And the guy from Treyway, who's now locked up with 6ix9ine.
Oh, shit, okay.
Yeah, that guy shot the guy with him in the office.
Yeah.
He's the main, he's the head of Treyway.
He's
done. He's not coming home. He's finished.
And also, of course, Remy and Papoose.
And Safari, yes. Yes. And so, it was a good first episode to me, you know.
It was great.
I
tapped out halfway through last season, and actually, waiting for last night's episode, you know, they had a marathon.
Oh, they did. Running up to it.
No, I wasn't watching all the episodes, but I saw like half of the last episode from the last season.
Okay.
And already, just from watching that, the difference between the first episode of this season and that season, it was like, you know, peace and to me entertainment. But it was like there was a blogger I ain't know. There was another person I ain't know.
Now they got known people.
Random ass music. I don't know who these little girls are. All they do is fight. It was that shit, right?
Yeah.
So now, of course, then we got Yandy back.
So now,
I'm like, give me Nate, like, and I think I said this on the show before. The Atlanta cast will always get a little bit from me just because they're so entirely ridiculous. Hollywood, I can't really do because they feel so young.
They're young. They're super young.
And it is representative of a more modern era of music because it's a lot of, like, internet people and SoundCloud people and Instagram people. But I don't know who none of these people are.
None of them.
Like, a lot of these
people. And why is Alexis trying to rap now?
Who the fuck knows?
Like, now, I'm into music
I feel like
now.
She's trying to what are you talking
about?
Fetty.
What are you talking about? You just. What? What?
And she got a big Treyway chain on.
Yeah, like, the chain and, like, what's going on?
I feel
on?
Like she's trying to prove something to Fetty, but I'm also like, why would you. Like, you hate this nigga. Why would you sign with his people?
And, like, so you got to see him all the time.
So you got, like, so you. So, and so that it's going to be natural that you guys got to work together, interact with each other.
Yeah.
All of this shit. Like, why would you do that? And I get that, you know, dude.
And the baby apparently had a lot of complications.
Yeah.
And he wasn't there for any of it.
And, you know, she was on Instagram hustling, doing all her little, like, hosting dates and this
and
that.
Yeah, trying to earn some bread to take care of her child. So God bless her.
So I'm like, and now I get it. Like, you're going to stay with the franchise. So, you know, God bless. But why would you sign to these niggas?
Yeah.
When you really don't fuck with
them. And now, I mean, she didn't know this was coming, but now that old boy's locked up, hope you not get caught up in some of that shit.
Right.
Like, you know, yo, we need to talk to you. And I say she was doing any dirt, but
still,
she might
like
just
proximity.
Bring her in to talk to her.
Proximity.
And now you in the room with some feds.
Right.
And they're putting pressure on you to tell what you know about this nigga. Like, right. So,
Joe is clearly the star here.
Joe's definitely the star.
Joe is Chapo.
So what do we think about that whole... So how old is Sin? 24?
24, 25.
And Joe's 40. So that's a 25-year stretch.
Yeah.
That's a huge stretch.
Yeah.
And that stretch will obviously just keep stretching.
And
so even when she's 30, he'll be like, what's it, 25?
He'll be 15 years.
Yeah, 15 years. So like when she's 30, he'll be 45. When she's 40, he'll be 65.
Yeah.
Like it's like... You know, they're going to be they're way different parts of their lives.
Yeah. And I think you might as well, you know, she's a housewife.
She's a housewife.
And
she's 24.
Sin has never really, and I like Sin, so I'm not saying this as a diss. Sin has never really done anything.
No, because when she got on the show, she was like 19 or 20.
Sin has never really done anything.
Yeah.
But been a reality star.
Yeah.
And now been like a reality star girl, right? And she does her little fashion. She does, not Fashion Nova, but she does her little Instagram
little
boutique
things or whatever.
Shit,
yeah.
Whatever.
And right now. Teeth whiteners and all that shit.
And right now, the baby's so little. Lex is so little. She can't even do hosting gigs and all that other stuff, right?
So this is what I would tell. I mean, again, this is.
Well, first you got. Let me say this before you go on there. You're saying, what do I think? So Joe's career over the past year,
has exploded.
Has two podcasts, a show with internet show with Revolt. Now he's back on this show.
He's exploding.
And so he's doing mad shit.
He's getting it popping
all the time.
Yes,
he's getting it popping, and he's 40, and there's an infant. And you got a young, hot Dykeman chick at home, like, what are we doing, what are we doing, what are we doing? I think some of this is exaggerated for TV, because I don't think Joe and Sin have been together long enough, and they're smart. Joe, at least, is smart enough to, like, know how to control the narrative a little bit.
Yeah.
So I definitely think some of this is blown up for TV. I think it's definitely a real thing they're having. I doubt it's driving a legit...
I don't think they're going to break up.
Yeah. But I think they made a conscious decision to share that as part of their storyline on the show. I don't think the show was like catching them unawares. You know
what
I mean?
Well, that's what I think. Yeah, I think some of that is true. And so I would tell Joe, and Joe's very smart, so he probably figured out on his own. So you got this thing, you said this, you met her when she's like 21 or so, 22. She's a bad motherfucker, right? She's hot, Dykeman, just fire hot, right? So you get with her, you know, you all fall in love, and you have this great relationship, and you have this baby, and again, she's only 23, 24 now.
Yeah.
And she says, so you got niggas, and then Joe knows this, but other niggas, you have to really pay attention, because most of the time, a woman will tell you what the issue is, but right. You'll miss it, because it'll be covered in a lot of shit. She said last night,
you leaving me behind.
And I don't like my body.
Right.
She said, I'm dealing with the way my body's changed, and you're making me feel. That's why she wants to fuck so much. She's like, I want to make sure that you're still attracted to me.
Yeah.
And you're not just going to be out here fucking other chicks. Now, and I don't think Joe's in that space anymore. Where he's really doing that anymore.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of it, and I think he's kind of missing that. And she's like, yo, I want to do the spicy shit. Let's get a room.
Yeah.
Let's go fuck all night. Da, da, da. And Joe's like, I want to go home.
Yeah.
I want to go home tired. Maybe we'll fuck once, and then I want to, you know, go to sleep and get up in the morning and watch SportsCenter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So, like, he's going to have to, like, kind of understand that she's still a kid.
Yeah. I think the other thing is that Joe and Sin, and I'm not going to say this wasn't the case with him and Tahiri, because they did have a very unique relationship.
Tahiri's a little older, though.
Tahiri's older, but I'm saying him and Sin are very much, they like boys. Like, they're friends.
They're friends, too, yeah.
They're friends. They like,
which is dope.
They like niggas.
Yeah.
But when that's the case in your relationship, sometimes you can fall into a certain level of comfort.
Yeah.
Where you'd be like, nah, come on, let's go home. What you talking about? Let's watch TV. We fuck about
yeah.
You know, and instead of being like, y'all really looking
shit
at you like, oh, y'all about
yeah.
to. Because, and I think part of the reason she's feeling that is because Joe, it wasn't as much as when he was with Kaylin, and they had motherfuckers photographing
I
all the bullshit.
About Kaylin. Wow.
But he definitely used to be like, y'all must stop up with a biscuit type energy.
Yeah.
So I can definitely see how, you know, she's feeling a little like,
yeah.
You don't, like, you're not thinking I'm sexy no more.
Yeah.
You know,
and again, whatever. She's only about 24, so this high sex drive, it's not going away.
Right.
It's going to actually increase.
Yeah.
Up until at least she's in her early 30s. Like, she's
our sex drive increases as we get older.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
So she,
but she got energy.
It ain't like shit, but she's young.
Yeah.
She wants to get it popping. Like she said on the thing, again, she said it. She's like, we used to fuck 5-6 times a day.
Yeah.
She says it, like, and now we don't do anything. So she's like, so what's wrong with me?
Right.
What's wrong with me? Bro, eating his food. He buying his food. I think even though you said I think it's enhanced, I think it is an interesting. And then last night there was a preview of next week. It looks like it might also be a postpartum thing.
Yeah,
as well.
Partially also a postpartum thing. I mean, obviously she's trying to adjust, but Lexington's such a little cutie. But she does ask Kimbella. She's like, is this normal? Kimbella's like, absolutely.
Yeah,
like,
your life has changed,
happened.
B.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Again, she's out in Jersey. Half the time she's in that, you know, really big house alone.
By herself.
Because Joe's out moving and grooving.
Yeah.
And so she's like, what am I doing? I'm in Jersey. I don't even know if she even drives. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, so what is she doing all day besides sitting with the baby?
Just sitting there with Lexington.
And probably watching fucking Shade Room.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was interesting. I thought what was the other one I thought that was really interesting? The Kimbella Jewels.
Right.
And then we know last week,
and
actually Thanksgiving night.
Into the premiere, we had Jewels proposed.
Yeah, Thanksgiving night at the Apollo.
Was it Thanksgiving night?
Or was it Wednesday?
I think it was the night before.
It might have been Wednesday night. You know, night before Thanksgiving at the Apollo, because he is going in.
Yeah.
I don't know if he took the deal or not.
But at least 2 years.
At minimum.
Yeah.
He's doing a couple years. And Kimbella, to me, looked worn out last night on the show.
On the show, yes. She looked happy. The proposal was funny to me because, listen, I am not engaged nor married, but... so I like, again, like we said, who are me to judge? However, after I done been through all this shit with your ass for 10 years, 2 kids, cheating, drugs, putting our shit on Front Street on reality TV, you proposing to me on stage on Apollo in front of a bunch of Harlem niggas.
With Avrex jackets on.
with self on the mic.
Word.
Talking about. What's up, both?
You know what I mean?
Gwen Entertainment, Jimmy, and all these niggas, you don't even say nothing. You just pull a box out, nigga.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
Just pull a box out. I got the word, probably drunk and high. Right. Just pull a box out and just nod your head at me like, and then put my shot in the wrong hand. Jimmy got to stop shit and whisper in your ear like, no, nigga, you need to put your shot in the hand. Like, that ain't really my dream, my nigga.
That ain't really my
sorry. That ain't really how I really saw this going.
Yeah, because what did they even afterwards, did they even split off and be like, all right, y'all, we're going to go over here? Or did it, yo, we all going out because of the show at the
time? Bro, let's go.
Are we all dipset now?
Some shit. Like,
all 40 of us going to the spot.
Did Kimbella even have any people there?
That's what I'm saying. Who knows?
And for you to do it, again, right before you go inside.
Right before you
go inside. Like, it's the consolation prize. Like, and
this is a bigger issue, which is why I wanted to bring this up.
Right.
Because it spawned a bigger issue and people talking about it of women kind of, and we've spoken about this before, kind of riding through all the bullshit.
Right. Well, we talked about this with John Gray last week.
Yes.
Like,
you get to the consolation
prize. You're the good chick because you stayed through all the bullshit. And people were saying, again, peace and money entertainment, because I know Sean can't chime in on this. Somebody was like, yo, if Kimbella's smart, she'll pull a Yandy. Like, do the wedding, do the whole shit,
and be don't, like,
file
nah,
the marriage,
be.
Don't file the marriage certificate. Like, protect your
She's
shit.
She's not going to do that.
She's not going to. Kimbella's absolutely
she
not going to
absolutely will not do that.
She's not going to do that. But it's like, but Jewel doesn't even seem to understand. Like, when they were showing them in their counseling session,
yeah,
and Kimbella was like, I've been here for 9 motherfucking years, nigga. You know what I'm saying? She said it. She was like, when it wasn't disrespect, it was cheating. When it wasn't cheating, it's fucking drugs. Like, what the fuck? And Jewel's was really like, well, I know you felt like that. Nigga, what you think? How you think she felt?
Yeah. Yeah.
How you think she felt?
Yeah.
Like, and now that you're going in, you're locking her down for your benefit.
Totally.
Now it's like, well, since I'm about to go inside, let me make sure you're going to be here.
Yeah.
While I'm inside,
yeah,
so that I know I'm being taken care of while I'm inside. So now here's the
exactly.
ring. Now,
here's like, the, don't and this also like puts the added extra pressure on you fucking another nigga while I'm inside. Not to say it's impossible, but like it's just the added extra pressure. Like you, I gave you a ring. You really can't fuck niggas
right.
now.
You got to take care of me. You got to make sure I'm good.
Exactly.
I need to make sure that Shorty's gonna take care of me and make sure I'm good. And that. And I mean, this ain't even some rap nigga shit or some
rich nigga shit.
This is some nigga shit.
It's some nigga shit, yeah.
It's just some nigga shit, like, for real. And I'm not on some, y'all who listen to the show for a long time, I'm not like an all men are trash shit, but it's some really selfish nigga shit because there's that one who you trust in your mind, and not for nothing, this is Puff and Kim, in your mind, it's like, no matter what else happens,
they'll be around.
Like, it's like James Brown and the one for funk. Like, you always come back to the one.
Mm-hmm.
The one is the emphasis. Mm-hmm. There's that chick, like, she's that
always
one.
Always gonna be there.
No matter what happens, I'm gonna go over here, I'm gonna come back.
Yeah. I'm
gonna go over there, I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna go do this bullshit, but I'm gonna come back. And when that girl dips, you mad as fuck.
Yeah, even
how
though you done did all kind of
right,
hate
how
shit.
How could you? You supposed to say you hurt to your fucking core. Like, how you just gonna, la, la, la. So, when you decide, I'm at my lowest point.
Yeah.
I ain't got shit to lose.
My teeth is just fucked up.
Yeah. I can't be out here in these streets no more.
I got my ditches are sliding.
Yeah. It's literally, we ain't getting no younger. We might as well do this.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally meet me at the altar. It's like, that shit ain't fly.
It ain't fly.
It's not fly. It's not rewarding.
Kimbella's
it's not endearing.
Also, Kimbella seems to be also conditioned to take this because it's like, she's been conditioned to be like, I'm a ride or die chick, and, you know,
ride or die is underrated, y'all.
And I got the kids, overrated, and da-da-da-da, and so, you know, here we go. Like, yeah. Like, I know it's television, it's production, but even she said yesterday when they were going to the park, she was like, oh, wait, he said it. Maybe he said it. One of them said, oh, man, this is really nice to, like, just be able to go to the park with the family. I'm like, why is that such a big deal?
Well, she said it because he was on house arrest.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
so
right.
They had to get permission.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. He stayed with his mom.
Yeah. So they had to get permission just for them to even,
you even see
go
each other
to the goddamn park.
Yeah, yeah, like, think about that. You don't got this space, and you can't even spend time with your family without asking somebody to do it.
Right.
So now you get engaged.
Right. Right.
Like, if you hadn't did the dumb shit at the airport, nothing would have changed.
Yeah.
You'd be moving as normal.
Right.
And you'd just be like, yo, it just is what it is.
Right.
So, I wonder, you know, what this is gonna mean for them long term. Because I mean, again, Yandy wasn't really on the show last night. We'll see how it goes moving forward, but I wonder how much she's even going to talk about Mandizzi's this season.
Yeah.
Because he's in. He's like in. He's not coming home no time
and
soon.
And it doesn't look like Mandizzi's baby mom's is back this time.
No, they're not. So it's kind of like,
no, that was a big storyline.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, like, is Yandy in a space where she's kind of being like, all right, I thought I could do this, but now, like, I'm a couple years in, this is bullshit.
Well, I think it is what it is, right? Because one thing with Mandy is that, with Yandy is like, she ain't never stopped the show. You know what I mean? Like, but she like, I got this going on.
No, she's still moving the groove, what I'm saying.
She just adopted another kid.
Yeah, the child, yeah,
you know
I
what
got
mean?
You.
So, like, she's moving, but
what I say is, like, I look at someone like Yandy or Campbell in this case, right? They're still fairly young women. Yeah. You're not, like, 65 years old, right? Right. They're still vital. They're still hot.
Right.
They still get horny. They still have needs. It's like, what do niggas expect?
Yeah.
Like, you expect your girl to just do nothing for 8 years?
And again, when,
it's not real,
and
fam.
When Yandy and Mendeecees got married, there was a hope that he was going to be able to come home early.
Yeah, but now it doesn't
and
look
that
like
that.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm wondering, you know.
Let me tell you what, I'm not the girl that's getting married before nobody goes in nowhere.
You and your own nigga.
Be like, I'll put some shit on your books.
Hey, nigga.
I don't know what.
I can't remember who the comedian was, but he was like, niggas from jail be calling home, like, what you doing? Nigga, I'm free. I got shit. I'm outside. I'm going to the grocery. The fuck?
I'm away. I was fucking with this girl from Brooklyn, and, you know, her dude, what was that? She was a girl from the Bronx, too. Now I think about it. Both them dudes was inside. And that's what got me in that zone, because I'm like, so he would call sometime to crib.
Yeah.
I'd be laid in the bed.
Right.
Hey, what you doing? You know, I'm just chilling. You know, I'm like, nigga, like, I'm just finished fucking your girl. So I'm like, you really think this is not happening?
Right.
She's hot. You're in. And you're in for a minute. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't me. It'll be the next nigga. So why not me?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what, the game is the game.
The,
like, what are we talking about here? And again, I'm not trying to say, I'm not putting any of that into you to say, like, Yandy or Kimbella, like, whoring around. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is, like, yo, life is life. It's
life
real.
Is life.
You can't expect a hot, vital, pretty woman who's, like, 33 or whatever, 35, to just be like, I'm just not having nothing popping for 8-9 years.
That's exactly what they expect.
It's idiotic.
Keep my pussy tight for me.
Dang, they ain't coming over to 2023. what are we talking about here? So,
and then your ass might come home, but meanwhile,
I don't know what's going on inside.
But meanwhile, niggas be inside and got all kinds of other bitches writing.
That too.
Visiting, doing all kinds of things. That's
a whole
other
story. So yeah, it's a whole other animal. So
yeah.
That's that. So, I just wanted to, I don't know what's happened with this Mississippi election. That was today. With the ugly racist.
White lady probably won just because of
I think she probably did. And I sent the article, which was really interesting to me, but not surprising, that there's a huge black Republican section in Mississippi of black people who are still voting for her, even though she's openly racist and Confederacy,
and Mississippi is like, I didn't realize this, but Mississippi is like 48th, 49th, or 50th.
I think it's 50th.
It's in one of these places for
education so, yeah,
for income,
49 or 50.
For happiness. No, but I mean, for all these different things, it falls between 48 and 50.
Yeah, it's horrible.
For education, for income, for for healthcare, for happiness of residents, like forever, it's all the way down at the bottom. And that's what the black dude was running on. But even with that, like I said, a lot of people were saying, and it's one of the blackest states in the union.
With their beat down.
Yeah.
They're beat down and they're trained and conditioned to not step out of line.
Absolutely.
And not do nothing because there's a whole ton. There's only, with Jackson, Biloxi's not a really a big city. It's more like a quote-unquote resort town because they're on the water. And you know, and that's kind of it. And between those two, dude, it's 1955.
It's in the antebellum South.
Yeah, for real. Nothing's changed.
Like, you go, like, yeah. It's
nothing's
for real,
changed. So, like, you step out of line down there.
It's very like, oh, I wish I was in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's real down there. Like, this is not a game. You know what I'm saying? So, sadly, most of those people are very probably scared to even step out of line, but besides the fact they've been conditioned just to not to do so. I wanted to mention this one last story about, did you see the story about the gene-edited babies?
No.
I actually heard about it. I was listening to a podcast.
Yeah, so in China, there's a doctor, I'm going to say his name totally wrong, but so I don't want to say it, but he altered some embryos of seven couples during fertility treatments. And what he did was basically like alter the gene so they wouldn't have an HIV strain, I guess. They can't catch the AIDS virus. But this is just kind of like a smaller thing to a bigger thing of doctors altering, you know, genes and embryos to kind of create this kind of perfect race of babies. And they've been kind of working on this for a while. It's like, you know, it's like science fiction, but this shit is not science fiction. Yeah. Same thing with Elon Musk trying to go to Mars.
Yeah.
Like, that's just really happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying it's going to be successful, but there's a reason they've been sending space probes to Mars. They're really trying to set some shit up. And I think the Donald Trump kind of section of the world, the old mean rich white men. That's why they don't really give a fuck about anything, any kind of like human rights or morality at all, because they're looking at it like, I ain't got much time here left anyway.
When I die, fuck it.
And I know that we're setting up to leave a lot of you motherfuckers behind.
Right.
And so, in one fashion or another, we're setting it up so like we'll be up here and everybody else will kind of be down here fighting for scraps. And that's really what's going on with him. But I just thought this gene editing thing was really interesting because, like I said, it doesn't stop here.
Yeah.
You know? Did you read about the GM plants shutting down?
Yep.
I heard about it.
Trump
bamboozled them again.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they're pulling the crews, the Volt and the Impala. Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Well, it's not.
The Impala.
You know, it's not. You know, the vehicles are not moving. You know, those mid-sized passenger cars aren't moving the way crossovers and pickups
and SUVs.
And SUVs are moving. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the way it is. You know, once they started to make those SUVs and those crossovers smaller and more compact, you got better gas mileage.
Yeah.
It totally changed the game.
Yeah, the only place you see those type of mid-sized sedans now was at a rental car.
Yeah, and what are you paying? Like $15 a day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're really tiny. They're uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. You system is shit. You know what I'm saying?
It's the most basic. It's just car.
Yeah.
Period. Like, you ain't got nothing extra.
Yeah, it's just car. We just driving here, and that's it. We're getting out. Yeah. So that's it, man. We're going to wrap up. I didn't even want to get into the whole Trump thing with the Mexican border, man. I didn't want to deal with that shit, man.
Yeah.
Heinous ass motherfucker, man. So that's it. Y'all got anything else?
Nope. No.
All right. Wrap up. Throw them leftovers away.
throw them away. I would hope you throw them away for real by the time this airs.
Yeah, shit. You know some niggas try to stretch it out.
Oh, you know, oh, for sure. Niggas still trying to take a turkey sandwich. Ain't gonna be out the whole end of the week.
I just heated it up. It'd be all right.
It smelled a little funny.
It smelled a little funny, but I just put a little Larry's hot sauce on it. Right. Some Frank's on it. It tastes really good. And tomorrow your fucking guts is coming out.
Yeah.
We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.